Welcome to CBS Mornings on this Wednesday. It's Hump Day. I'm Gail King.
I'm Tony DeCoppo.
And I'm Vladimir Dutier.
Ahead on today's CBS Mornings on the Go, we finish out our Facing Fertility series with a topic that many women, men for that matter as well, don't want to talk about. The M word, menopause. Gail, Drew Barrymore, and Nikki Petit sit down to talk about their experiences and also some of the biggest myths and misconceptions. There are a lot. Also, a new scam related to some of those cryptocurrency ATMs you see popping up all around the country. Well, Drika Duncan will show you how these scams work and how to protect yourself. Also, Yellow Jackets, the star, the Emmy-nominated actor Melanie Lynskey talks about landing a big role in that hit drama, and she's decades into her career at this point. All of that and more after these messages.
Hey, hey, Prime members, talking to you. You can listen to CBS Mornings on the Go ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you can have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
As the Federal Reserve considers raising interest rates today, car buyers will be watching closely. The average monthly payment for a new vehicle is now more than $700 a month and more than $550 a month for a used one. That's up as much as 32% from pre-pandemic levels, in part because of higher interest rates. So, what can you do to get the best possible deal and drive the car of your dreams off the dealer's lot? Nancy Chen has some tips on how to navigate your way around this very tough market.
At Lee Auto Mall, just outside Portland, Maine, it's been hard to keep cars on the lot.
What's the average price of a car right now?
The average price is about $48,000 to $50,000.
Adam Lee owns 16 dealerships and says business has been especially good the past 3 years. But high sticker prices, fueled by high demand, combined with high interest rates, are making it increasingly challenging for buyers.
We're still seeing very strong demand, but you can feel it that it's slowing down.
Although prices have dipped slightly from historic levels, new cars still come out to nearly $50,000 and used $28,000 on average. Combined with APRs that can be as much as 11%, monthly payments are skyrocketing. One in six people who have recently financed a new car committed to monthly payments of $1,000 or more, the highest on record.
What is the concern down the line if interest rates keep going up?
Most dealers borrow money to pay for their cars, and at some point that will start to have an impact. If rates keep going up and people can't buy cars, it means we won't order more cars.
So it locks up everything?
It does.
Demetrius Thrasher depends on his vehicle to make food deliveries just outside Atlanta. After a crash totaled his previous car last summer, the Navy veteran reluctantly purchased a new one for about $25,000 more than he wanted to spend.
I called around to the other dealerships throughout the state of Georgia, and they were like, "We got nothing."
Thrasher says he's now paying about $1,000 a month for his car and has had to defer payments twice. He's not alone. Delinquencies for auto loans 60 days or more past due is up 20% from last year.
Consumers are served a double whammy because car prices are high and interest rates are high. So
Jessica Caldwell analyzes auto transactions for Edmunds, a car shopping platform for new and used vehicles. She says there is a bright spot for those looking for a car now.
We are seeing some automakers actually offer incentives, and we haven't seen that in a while.
Also, make sure to shop car loans for the best deal on interest rates and terms, and be patient.
Is there a sense of drive the car until the wheels fall off?
I think that there really is that sentiment, and that honestly is the best advice.
For CBS Mornings, Nancy Chin, Westbrook, Maine.
We all know that philosophy. Drive the car till the wheels come off.
Done it with a couple cars in my family.
That's right. Third part of our series that we call Facing Fertility. This morning, we are focusing on menopause. That's the end of fertility for women. And now more than ever, women, including big names like Michelle Obama, Naomi Watts, and others, they're coming forward to say, we got to talk about this. Most women start menopause around the ages of, say, 51, 52. 5% of women experience early menopause. That means between the ages of 40 and 45. And 1% experience it even before the age of 40. So talking about menopause, we know this isn't always comfortable, but it's so very, very important. That's why Drew Barrymore and I said yes when Nikki Batiste asked us, let's sit down and have a conversation. We started that conversation with perimenopause. That's when many women start to notice changes as the body starts transitioning toward the M word, menopause.
Was there an aha moment where you thought, I'm in perimenopause?
I realized that I was in perimenopause when I started having my period every 2 weeks. And then that...
Wasn't it a heavy flow? That's a sign.
Yes, like a teenager. Well, one doctor also just told me, like, this could last, you know, on the worst case scenario, 10 years. And I was like, I will never make it 10 years like this.
Well, I did.
Well, help me.
I did.
Gail, how long?
Another thing you're going to have to help me through, Gail.
It can last 10 years. I mean, the perimenopause doesn't last 10 years, but I still have, you know, they say by the time you're 50, definitely there's something going on. I'm just glad we're even having this conversation, Nikki, because I didn't even know the phrase perimenopause.
Same.
I had never even heard, I'd heard of menopause, but I'd never even heard the phrase perimenopause until I went to the doctor because, you know, not to get too graphic, but when it first happens for a lot of people, it looked like a crime scene.
Since you've been through the whole process.
But I still, I don't think I'm done because I still have hot flashes.
You still do?
I still do. Not as much as I used to. Not as much as I used to. A couple times during COVID, I'm like, is this COVID or is this menopause?
What does a hot flash feel like? Because that I'm not getting yet.
Feels like, it starts with, it feels like you're burning inside and then.
Like acid reflux?
No, it just feels hot.
Okay.
For me, it was just a physical heat. And then you can sometimes have dripping, drenching sweats that just can happen at the most inopportune times. I've been on the red carpet where a photographer would say, Gail, are you okay? I go, it's just a hot flash. And they go, oh, sorry, sorry, sorry. It's like people when you say, I'm having a hot, oh, sorry, sorry, sorry. Like they've said something very bad about you.
But
that's why I think it's good we're saying, yes, menopause,
know.
Hot flashes, dry vagina. It's all part of it.
Most people just hear menopause and think, it's hot flashes. That's all it is. But it's so much more.
Why has hot flashes been marketed so well where people go, oh, sure. Yeah. But if you say perimenopause, I'm in menopause, you know, I'm experiencing this. Most of it seems very unfamiliar and confusing, mm-hmm. not mm-hmm. just to men, but women. Mm-hmm.
Did either of you seek any treatment? Go talk to a doctor?
I did talk to a doctor, but I didn't take any hormones. You know, I know friends that have creams or they take medication, and I've just sort of weathered through it when I realized you really don't have to do that.
I was offered hormone therapy, and I said no.
Why?
Because I really didn't feel like the doctor who was suggesting it understood where I was at. And it seemed preemptive. And I'm like, until I get so desperate, and this is all so obvious, I don't want to take something preemptively. At some point, there might be a treatment that's right for you. So don't do it too fast, but don't be a hero unnecessarily if you don't need to be.
Yeah, don't be a hero. The other reason why I think this is hard is because when you think of menopause, you think of old.
Yeah.
You think of old, her life is over, she's
yes.
done.
Put her out to pasture.
Yes. And what we know is that's just not true. That if there's any message we could get across, I think that would be the one that would be the most helpful.
How do we change the conversation about menopause to be
this
humorous?
Keep talking. Because it is kind of funny.
Crime scene.
Everything is kind of funny. I think the more women also, you know, in their 40s, 50s, and 60s mm-hmm. are looking so attractive, yes. feeling so vibrant, living their best lives. The way menopause has been branded is you're old, you're done. Mm-hmm. That's not it.
Yeah. You're old, you're done.
Your vagina is dry.
Yeah.
You have no value in society anymore.
You're not attractive.
Like, you're not attractive. It's like cobwebs down there.
Yeah. I mean, you're not sexy.
And all that's not true. Also, the other thing, Nikki, is you don't have to have drastic symptoms. Not everybody has these kind of symptoms. I know some women who they've been through it and they've just sort of sailed through it, have had very minimal things. It wasn't disruptive to their life. That was not my experience. But my mother also had very bad symptoms, but she never talked about it. Listen, I remember being on vacation with my mom and she had white pants and her period came on. She was in menopause. It had to be perimenopause. And this blood started gushing. I said, what is happening? She goes, oh, nothing. I'm fine. No conversation about it.
Why is that? Why has that been the way for so long?
Yes.
Even our own mom.
Yes, because they were embarrassed. And it was in...
A generational thing.
It was generational, and it was improper and indelicate to talk about. You're not raising Frankie and Olive that way, I'm sure. Yeah.
I think we should educate our sons, too.
I was just going to say that.
You have to tell the guys.
Bo's mom. I was just going to say that. I think you have to have a conversation with your boys as well. But I do think kids, boys and girls, should be well-informed. I don't want little boys going, ew, I don't want that.
Because
it is something that we go through. And it's just, you know, male and female, there are differences. And those differences are okay.
If you were to use one word, one phrase to describe how we should think about menopause, what would it be?
One word. Reality.
Mine's natural.
Ah, that's good.
I think ours are really, as usual, hand in hand.
That's good.
Yeah,
reality.
An OBGYN who specializes in menopause told me that hormone replacement therapy can be safe and effective if it's done at the right age for the right amount of time. What that time frame is can vary from woman to woman. Another doctor told us that women who reach menopause before 45, especially before 40, should strongly consider hormone replacement therapy.
Yeah, all the doctors will tell you that it is safe. We did something with Dr. Sharon Malone at Oprah Daily. She says we need to stop normalizing. She's also a doctor who specializes in this. Stop normalizing suffering around this. You know, it seems such a taboo and uncomfortable thing. But I think Michelle Obama says it best. She says, you know, when you reach menopause, be glad that you've reached it. It just shows you're at another stage of life. Mm-hmm. She says, there's no shame in my menopause game. And I think we have to figure out a better way to reframe the conversation so it doesn't make people uncomfortable, including men,
including little boys. That's a great point, Gail, because throughout this conversation that you were having, I think Tony and I we kept asking questions. I'm stunned at my own ignorance when it comes to this particular subject. I'm actually stunned, and I consider myself somebody who kind of knows a lot of things about a lot of things, and I don't know anything as much as I should about this. And I have a little girl at home.
Understanding is being able to make us feel more comfortable. And I think for me, I always worried, will I be less desirable? Will I be less sexy when I hit menopause? But Gail King, you're living proof that
no. And the answer is no. Yes. The answer really is no. I mean, there's just so much stuff that happens to a woman's body. You guys are so lucky in that respect. We have so many moving parts and so much stuff that happens. I don't feel you guys have to go through half the stuff we do.
It's not a competition.
Gail, I want to thank you and Drew for your transparency and having this conversation.
It helped so many others. Nikki, yeah.
I also want to thank our Facing Fertility series producers, Hilary Cook and Rachel Bailey, and editor Chris Hassan. They've been wonderful. And a personal thanks to my fertility doctor, Dr. Eric Foreman at Columbia University Fertility Center.
Such an important series. Yes. I'm really proud of you and our show for doing this.
Me too. But Nikki guided us through it, you know, because Drew and I could both be long talkers. Nikki has a tendency, let's get back on track, girls, is what we're talking about.
I learned so much. Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
Natural and reality. Those are the two words. All right, Nikki, thank you very much. Our series, Changing the Game, highlights are making a difference right now and also for future generations. Allison Jazz is making history right now as openly gay leader of a major veteran group, and she also is the first woman to lead that group, the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, IAVA.
I think, Tony, your mic is off, so I'm going to pick up the read real
quick. There's a problem with your mic.
So the group helps more than 425,000 veterans get the resources they need for issues like health care and education. Jaslo served two tours of duty as an Army officer in Iraq in 2004 and 2007, and she joins us now. Good morning. Good to see you.
Good morning. Good to see you all as well. Thank you for having me.
I think if my mic is working, is it?
I think we should go.
Okay.
I mean,
go ahead.
We have pictures of you. You served two tours in Iraq.
I did.
It was 20 years ago this week that George W. Bush authorized airstrikes that led to those two tours in Iraq. When you think back to it, and we'll get to everything else, what do people need to remember about that war?
I think the most important thing is, you know, it's not just remembering the war, but making sure that we learned all the lessons that we should have learned from this particular war. You know, when you're a leader in combat, one of the most difficult days that you will ever have is when you lose somebody. When you lose somebody, you want to be able to look your soldiers in the face and say that it was for the right reasons, you know, or any reason, or to be able to explain to them what their buddy made the ultimate sacrifice for. I can tell you from personal experience, I struggled to give my soldiers that answer. And I want platoon leaders of the future to be able to look their soldiers in the eye and know very clearly what they lost their lives for, what they got injured for. And so I think when we reflect back on the Iraq war, we need to be very clear going forward that we are keeping our eyes on, you know, the right mission and making sure that we're getting into the right wars.
After two tours in the Army, do you still recommend service to young people?
Absolutely.
Because?
I know a lot of vets at this point in my career, and I don't know anybody, whether they're still serving or decided to get out, where it's not a big part of their life. You know, I got into the Army. I wanted it to be my career. I've found other ways to serve since being in the military. But as I was telling Gail earlier, you know, I think though I left the Army values are still a part of me, too. And so, you know, the person that it shaped me into being, the leader that it shaped me into being, is something that I can't imagine my life without. And I would recommend to anybody military service of any kind.
Well, you're here because, Alice, in our Changing the Game series where we honor badass women, we certainly put you in that category. Why?
Thank you.
You're welcome. The first openly gay leader of a major veterans organization, the first woman to lead the IAVA.
Yes.
Did you feel pressure? Do you feel a burden because you're called the first openly gay? And that's something that you have shared.
You know, one of the toughest things I've had to, like, experience in my life, though I've been to combat twice, yeah, was coming out. Was coming out more so even to myself before even my friends and family. So it is difficult to put yourself out in this way, but I also know the extreme value to other people. And as somebody who sees myself as a servant leader, if I can be of service in that way as I step into this leadership role, it's worth me pushing myself out of my comfort zone to do it.
There's a startling statistic, which is an average of 20 service members and veterans die by suicide every day.
Yes.
What changes do you want to see when it comes to mental health care for our service members and our veterans?
Well, unfortunately, I don't know a vet who doesn't know somebody who died by suicide.
Wow.
So the veteran suicide crisis is continuing to be a high priority, not only for an organization like ours, but I think more broadly speaking, you know, America doesn't want to see its best and brightest taking their own lives. So there's additional work that needs to be done to decrease the stigma. I think I give a huge amount of credit to current military leaders who are now speaking openly about their struggles. You've got men in very high-ranking positions who are talking about how it's okay to not be okay.
Yes.
But there are other things we need to look at, too. You know, men who serve in the military experience childhood trauma at twice the rate of civilian men.
Wow. Mm.
And so people who are coming in the military, if we can help them understand and unpack and heal their childhood trauma, they'll be at less risk of PTSD and other trauma further, you know, in their career.
When it comes to understanding, I just want people to know that you were part of the group that helped Veterans Affairs change its motto,
yes,
which was to care for him, and it shifted to those who serve.
Yes. Bravo, Allison.
It's a big win last week.
Yes.
Thank you very much for your service. Thank
of
you
course.
So much.
An important win, too. We'll Bravo
right.
you.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Bravo you.
More from this episode of CBS Mornings after this short break.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way, too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Oh boy. Welcome back. It's time to bring you some of the stories that we like to call talk of the table this morning. So, Tony, you were in pole position.
They call it talk of the table, which means you have to talk.
Yes.
But talking's been difficult lately because my mic's not been working. Do we have
the Gremlins are working, but they say it's working now.
So all right, I can be heard. All right, because I've got important news about a Supreme Court case today. I told you about this earlier. Now it's at the Supreme Court. Lawyers for Jack Daniel's, oldest distillery in America, will argue today that a dog toy that plays on the Jack Daniel's name, it's called Bad Spaniels, like Jack Daniel's. It's a silly squeaker toy. One of those is the squeaker toy. Riffs on the branding of Jack Daniel's, number seven, old number seven brand Tennessee Sour Mash Whiskey. The dog toy says old number two on your Tennessee carpet. It's humorous to some. The lawyers for Jack Daniel's are saying this is a copyright infringement and that product needs to be taken off the market. And it sounds like a funny back and forth, but it's actually a really big deal. The lawyers for Jack Daniel's say, to be sure, everyone likes a good joke, but VIP, the maker of the dog toy, their profit-motivated joke, in quotes, confuses consumers by taking advantage of Jack Daniel's hard-earned goodwill.
I hope they figure that out. It does seem a little silly to me.
But if Jack Daniel's wins, it means that that businesses with trademarks could see those brands used in humor if the other company has a funny approach, right? So it could create an opening for a lot more joking on big companies. So it's actually quite high stakes.
The fact that it's the Supreme Court tells you that it is.
Yeah. There's more than meets the eye.
Glad everyone could hear me with that important dispatch on Supreme Court news today.
You could hear Tony on that one. Can you hear me? My talk of the table is Sarah Blakely. She's a woman who changed many lives by giving us Spanx. Got them on today. A few years ago, Blakely celebrated the sale of her company by giving every Spanx employee 2 first-class tickets to anywhere they wanted to go and an extra $10,000 in spending money. That is Sarah. Now she wants to treat one lucky follower to a very special getaway. Take a look at the video that she just posted on Instagram the other day.
Hey, everybody. I'm so excited. I am giving away a solo vacation. Why? Because as a working mom, I do not spend enough time alone. And I have a feeling you don't either. So I really want to encourage everybody to be able to spend time alone. One of the best things I've been able to do for myself is go on a solo vacation. And so that's what I want for you.
Wow.
I'll say Sarah Blakely gives details on how to enter on her Instagram account. The deadline is on Monday. Sarah's got 4 kids. So she said, I know what a solo vacation is. But this is what she's offering. 3 days, 3 nights vacation alone at the Montage Palmetto Bluff Hotel. That's in Bluffton, South Carolina.
Wow.
She says, complete with the airfare, the daily massages, and she says, of course, unlimited French fries. She said, you'll get your best ideas when you're there alone. Truly recharge. Makes you better parents, friends, coworkers, and better humans. I just adore
her. That's so cool. And the Montage is no joke.
Oh, the Montage
is no joke.
That's luxury
at the highest levels.
Yeah. 5-star hotel, but that's Sarah Blakely.
It also makes a lot of husbands
better
parents.
Friends. It does.
It'll make a lot of husbands better parents because when they do 4 days of solo parenting, you will improve.
Yeah, go on her Instagram account and get the details on who.
I'm doing just that. Yeah. I'm going to do that, Gail. My talk of the table is about the highly anticipated new film, John Wick Chapter 4. The John Wick franchise, starring Keanu Reeves, follows a retired hitman who's forced back into the underground world of assassins to face his enemies. The new sequel could break franchise box office records this weekend. Its cast includes martial arts star Scott Adkins. He's known for roles in action films like Ip Man 4, The Finale, with martial arts legend Donnie Yen. He's also in John Wick 4. He wore heavy makeup, look at this,
yes.
to play wow. an ex-assassin named Killa, who meets John Wick at his nightclub. Watch this.
You want to kill him? I want to kill him. What about you, Mr. Wick?
I'm going to kill you.
Oh, for better, of course, yeah. But it looks like we have ourselves a genuine conundrum. A quandary, if you will. A real-life dilemma. So, I thought we play a game. One hand. The winner decides who lives and who does not.
Scott Adkins joins us first on CBS Mornings. Welcome.
Yes, welcome, welcome.
It is so good to see you. First of all, you're basically playing a Bond villain in that scene, right?
Yeah.
But just, you're a big fan of the John Wick franchise, but when you got the call from the director that he wanted you to be in this film, oh yeah, by the way, Donnie Yen's going to be in it, who you know from Ip Man 4, one of the greatest martial artists in the world. Oh, also, Hiroki Sanada is going to be in it, one of the great Japanese martial artists in the world. And you. What'd you think?
And also Marco Zaro, who's a martial arts legend.
That's right.
I got to think about it?
Oh, yeah. Let me think about it. Hang on a second. Oh. No, look, I'm a huge fan of all the John Wick movies. I've been bugging the director to put me in all of them since the first one. And I'm very happy that it happened to be this one, because I think with all the other action stars that are coming into the franchise now, it's one of the best action films going.
But this is the thing. I was saying to Scott, you know, please don't hate me, but this was my first John Wick movie, so I'm saying, I know what you look like, but I'm sitting there waiting, when is Scott Adkins going to be in this movie? You don't even make an appearance until an hour and 13 minutes in. Believe me, I was watching. And you are totally unrecognizable. I want to know what it's like for you to fight with all of that fat suit. When they first told you you're going to wear that, how did that work for you?
I have to admit, my first reaction was, oh, I'm going to be in John Wick 4 and no one's going to know it's me.
Yes.
But then I relished the challenge of being able to create the character from the ground up and you know, the whole thing that went with it. But the fight scenes, yes, it had its difficulties. The fat suit wasn't as heavy as you might think, but it was important for us to sell the weight of the suit as well. Yes. So it looks like a legitimate big guy. And then you start fighting Keanu Reeves in underground basement in the rain and all the rest of it. It was some.
Are there fans in there? Is there water in there? What is happening inside that suit for you?
I've got a cooling suit.
You've got what?
I've got a cooling suit underneath. So I've got this tube that looks like it's coming out of my backside, which I'll plug into a bucket of ice, and it will shoot water around the body, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did it affect your fighting, wearing the fat suit?
Yeah.
It wasn't easy.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I've been doing martial arts since I was 10 years old, so.
So speaking of that, speaking of the fact that you've been doing martial arts for the last, since you were 10 years old, we'd like a little demonstration. I will be your demonstration partner. Is that cool?
Yeah, we'll
Why do I feel like I'm the one who's going to get hit in the face?
Yeah, what could go wrong on live TV?
Yes, let's do that. All right.
You've done taekwondo, right?
I did taekwondo and karate pretty much my whole life, but it's been a couple of years. I mean, I'm also.
So you will know that one of the most important things in martial arts when it comes to kicking is chambering the knee and getting the hip into the correct position.
Right.
So if I was going to do a side kick with you, and I hope that your trousers aren't too tight, I would make sure that this foot, the toes are pointing this way on the back foot so that my hip is in the correct position.
Yep.
I would chamber my knee and I would do the side kick.
And so I would.
Bang! There we go, mate. Knee up, kick.
One more time.
And he didn't crack his pants.
Yes, well done.
That's
all right.
The most important part.
Okay, so let's talk about that spinning. You did a spinning back kick in the film wearing that fat suit, and I thought that was, to me, the most impressive thing that I saw, because I'm thinking to myself, and you sold the weight. So let's do that scene, or let's do that move, and I will be your... I know I'm not in the union for stunt.
Somebody
people.
Gets but Vlad, somebody gets kicked in the head.
That's right. So that's going to be
9-1.
Martial arts choreography.
Okay.
Screen fighting 101. If we can bring that camera this way a little bit, please.
Okay.
And I'll put you into position. So if we were making the movie, and you're John Wick, and I'm going to do a spinning back kick, what I would do, I had to do a switch stance like that to set it up. And then I'm going to bring the kick across here.
Okay.
And you're going to react accordingly.
Okay.
Are you ready, Vlad?
Ready to react accordingly.
Here we go. Let's go.
Oh! Down.
Coming back for more.
Well done.
That was well done.
Awesome. But Scott.
Still alive. Nothing wrong.
You got good at this when you were 13, 11. You got mugged and you thought, I will never let this happen to me again. Is that a true story?
That is a true story. I turned the garage into a dojo. It was a place for my dad's motorbike. And that quickly got shifted aside and had a shrine to Bruce Lee and the Makiwara and the punch bag. Yeah, I just decided that was never going to happen to me again. And I was in there every night training.
Trained in at least 6 different types of martial art. Do I have that right?
Many martial arts, yes.
Wow.
And this film, for martial arts fans, has all styles displayed. You've got karate, taekwondo, sumo is even on display there. It's
oh,
really
yeah.
Cool.
The director of the John Wick movies, I mean, he's a martial arts encyclopedia, and he's amazing. He's an incredible martial artist himself.
Well, thank you for Stretch
Fabric.
You
were fun to watch in the movie.
You were very impressive.
Very cool. Scott
amazing
Atkins,
in the
thank
movie.
You very much. That was awesome, and thank you for the demonstration.
Thanks,
we appreciate it. John Wick Chapter 4 opens in theaters nationwide on Friday.
Oh, there's that music, the hit Showtime. Don't we like that music?
I love that music.
The hit time Showtime series. We all love this show here. Yellow Jackets is returning for its highly anticipated second season. The first episode is available to stream on Friday. The show is about a high school soccer team struggle to stay alive after their plane crashes in a remote forest and what happens to the traumatized survivors 25 years later. Star Melanie Lynskey earned an Emmy nomination, rather, for her role. After decades of character work, Lynskey, we're happy to say, is top billing in 2 shows this year. Christina Ruffini met up with her for some axe throwing, and to find out how she's embracing her moment as a main character.
All right, you ready for this?
Yes, I think so.
Melanie Lynskey is too nice for axe throwing.
Just try not to be
afraid of the axe.
I am afraid of the axe.
And despite playing 2 of the year's biggest TV baddies, she might also be too nice for Hollywood.
Did you want to be famous?
No. And I still very much don't. I really, like, I'm shy. And so it's hard for me to feel like someone's looking at me. I always assume my dress is tucked into my undies or something.
It's me!
Don't pay attention to me.
For years, Lynskey was also told she was just too normal, consistently cast in character roles. The best friend in Coyote Ugly, the definitely not ugly stepsister in Ever After, the kooky girl next door in 2 and a Half Men.
Where does she get off being so forward?
I've been a working actor for 30 years, and to suddenly have a different level of success, it's just, I didn't anticipate it.
That's because Lynskey is finally having her leading lady moment.
What is it about you that you think is relatable?
I think I'm just normal. Like, I think people are like, hang on a minute, she looks like me. I think it's refreshing. I think it's nice for people to see.
And people are suddenly seeing her everywhere, including as a ruthless rebel leader in HBO's dystopian drama, The Last of Us.
Find who did this. Find every collaborator and kill them all.
The show's creator said he wanted her character to evoke a kindergarten teacher in charge of the French Revolution.
You can always do like a post-apocalyptic tough lady, and that's a great thing. But isn't it nice to be surprised and see something a bit different?
It ends the way it ends.
In addition to zombies, Lynskey also had to battle Twitter trolls, who said her curves didn't fit the apocalypse aesthetic.
Some people get very reactive about, you know, seeing, I think also because I don't play the typical roles that somebody who's not thin plays.
Born in New Zealand, Lynskey got her start at age 15, opposite Kate Winslet in director Peter Jackson's film, Heavenly Creatures. But after her breakout role, she didn't quite break through.
I tried to be as thin as I could. I wore a lot of makeup all the time. I was like, is this it? Is this it? And I kept getting reinforced with the idea, like, no, that's not quite it. You're still not quite what we're looking for. At a certain point, I was like, okay, so I give up. So I'm me.
Take it or leave it.
Yeah.
That authenticity, she says, got noticed and got her bigger parts, including a lead on the hit show Yellow Jackets.
I know about the blackmail, okay, Adam?
I've always been resistant to being like the chubby friend or this or that. Like, I've said no to things like that. And I waited until I could be, you know, this person on Yellow Jackets who has 2 love interests.
I like this night.
Me too.
And they're hot.
They are. Yes.
and very talented actors and very kind people.
Yes, yes, of course. Yes.
In the acclaimed series from Showtime, a division of Paramount, Linsky plays a murderous survivor of a mysterious plane crash that traps a high school soccer team in the wilderness.
Speed break! Speed break!
I didn't murder Adam.
The ensemble drama is led by actresses all in their 40s, and it also landed Linsky her first ever Emmy nomination.
I think the thing that made me want to take the part, she doesn't put a lot of stock in anyone else's opinion. And for me, I feel sort of paralyzed by that sometimes. And I want to know what that feels like to be that person.
You haven't done this before.
No, have you done this before?
So to continue her tough girl character work, we took Linsky to Lumberjack's axe throwing in Los Angeles. Although neither of us will be getting offered the role of huntsman anytime soon.
I don't have a lot of confidence in our survival skills right now.
No, is this part of survival skills?
I don't know.
Linsky is a survivor. And even if it takes a bit longer than expected, eventually, she'll hit her mark.
There we go.
Yeah! All right.
It happened.
For CBS Mornings, Christina Ruffini, Los Angeles.
Wow, that Melanie's a good sport, too, to go to axe throwing. Yeah. I go, really, axe throwing?
And her character, Shauna on Yellow Jackets, is one of the most compelling characters and one of the most compelling shows on TV.
And she was so good in Two and a Half Men.
I know.
Oh, she's great. You can watch the second season of Yellow Jackets starting this Friday on Showtime. Showtime, as you know, is a division of Paramount.
And we do thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow in your feed and Monday through Friday on your local CBS stations starting at 7 a.m.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to CBS Mornings on the go ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Catch every episode of 60 Minutes, America's most watched news magazine show, as a podcast. Hear in-depth investigations across politics, news, and entertainment on your schedule. Listen to 60 Minutes ad-free on Wondery Plus.